All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. I'm William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com, the creator and producer of the show. Today is one of the occasional times where I'm the guest. That is, for this episode, I'm sharing a recent short talk I gave while at the C.S. Lewis and Inklings Conference at Grove City. There I read a 20-minute paper dealing with doubtful quotations attributed to Lewis. Did he actually write them? If so, are they best shared isolated, and if not, how close are they to what he actually wrote? The title I gave when I spoke this in late March 2015 was Not Quite Lewis, Questionable Lewisian Quotations. Be sure to check the show notes for more details about the C.S. Lewis and Inkling Society and where their next conference is, as well as how to get a free copy of my complete paper. There are a number of resources available to help you find memorable passages from the writings of C.S. Lewis. Some quotations are short and sweet, and some are much longer. The Quotable Lewis, of course, and then A Mind Awake is among the titles. These are excellent resources to find not only accurate, but also where the actual sources of the quotations are from. Well, today's technology, though, it enables us even greater possibilities when it comes to finding memorable expressions. If you have the ebook version of a title, you can do a search for something that you thought you saw in it and find where the quote is. But beyond this, a person can merely go online and search. You don't even have to own a book by any author. Of course, we don't advocate that, but, you know. And you can find quotes. However, there are some drawbacks to our modern society. Not every quote credited to C.S. Lewis or other authors, for that matter, are actually by him. Well, at another conference, I presented a talk last year at Taylor University, What Lewis Never Wrote, Quotes Misattributed to the Oxford Professor. Well, he wasn't an Oxford professor, he was a Don, so that was an obvious mistake. And that's available online, and it also came out in print. But this time around, I am looking at quotations that he actually penned. These are quotes that are actually from Lewis, but when taken apart from their context, results in interpretations that distort what was originally meant. Just a real quick, what is this called? Contextomy, for taking something out of context. This infraction happens often in the political realm, when anyone uses what's called a straw man's argument. This is, of course, one person quotes another to misrepresent them and then make it easier to refute their supposed position. Contextomy is also possible, though, in a positive sense, when a person quotes someone out of context as an appeal to an authority and to help it seem that an esteemed person is agreeing with what they already are agreeing with. The latter, of course, the positive sense, is the most typical reason that you might find Lewis taken out of context. Lewis is not the only one. We notice other authors. Real quickly, Proverbs 23:7 is something that is very commonly batted about to supposedly mean something that it doesn't. The most common way we see it is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is not exactly how it is in any of the translations, unless there's one I missed here, but he is usually substituted for man, minor error. But even this is not the actual full verse. You need that as well as the verse before and the verse after, the sixth and eighth verse, to come up with what the verse actually means. It is not a positive thinking encouragement. Instead, it is actually a warning to not always trust what other people say. All right, so I'm going to look at four quotations, one dealing with happiness, one stagnation, better things ahead, and then also something about not just literature in my short talk today. Only the first three suffer from the context issue. The fourth one falls short. It's not quite Lewis in that it's a nice expression, but it's a poor paraphrase, and we'll get to that shortly here. But so happiness. The Four Loves is where the first quotation is coming from. You have probably seen this. It says the following: do not let your happiness depend on something you may lose. It says C.S. Lewis, it actually is. This does not mean what you might think it means. is not trying to deal with the idea about worldliness and such. This is found, again, in the four loves. It is actually in the last chapter entitled Charity. Prior to this passage, Lewis has been discussing his view on natural loves and how they may become rivals to loving God. However, he believes that there is a greater danger to not being able to move from self-love to love towards others. Thus, our love has not risen to where it can become a rival. In fact, he points out many people do not find it really difficult to hate their wives or mothers because there's so much into their own self-love. So it's easy, to follow that command because, they haven't moved beyond the self-love. All right, Lewis is suggesting here that we must first learn to love people on earth before really being able to love God. That's going to fit into the end of the quote here in a second if you follow me. This is the backdrop before in this chapter in the Four Loves where Lewis is discussing a passage from St. Augustine for which he disagrees. He finds a unsettling moral. That's how I'm summarizing it. But this is at the very outset. He is disagreeing with St. Augustine, which he says this is apparently the only issue that he finds a disagreement with. The section that Lewis is referring to is from the Confessions. Here we have St. Augustine mourning the loss of a friend. And Lewis summarizes this by stating that St. Augustine is believing that he should not have given his heart to anything but God. That's a quote from Lewis in his book. It's not a quote from St. Augustine's book. That's his summary. So St. Augustine thought that had he lived so that he only gave his heart to God, then he could have avoided the pain he felt when his friend died. That's what Lewis is disagreeing with. And so the quote at the beginning is what he summarizes as St. Augustine's point. Lewis, though, is saying, although I can relate to that, I am a safety-first creature. He would rather avoid suffering, as I'm sure all of us would. Yet he warns, who could conceivably begin to love God because the security, so to speak, is better? And then he says even more things, but one of the other things I wanted to point out, he says, is one must be outside the world of love of all loves before one thus calculates. So again, do not let your happiness depend on something you may lose. He's saying that's what St. Augustine believed, but he's saying, no, no, no. And we just gave you support. So this appears by itself to be a warning about not relying on temporary pleasures for happiness, which Lewis would agree with. But that's not what he's saying in the quote. So when you examine it in context, the statement is actually a very specific sentiment with which he disagrees. And so I'm saying, don't share this quote. Number two, stagnation. This is one that's not as commonly found online, but I've seen it in other places. I actually pulled it out myself and shared it on my website before I realized this is something that is it's from the Great Divorce. There's nothing anything wrong with that. But when you're quoting an author's fictional work, you want to see what that character is actually advocating or saying. This seems, stagnation, my dear boy. What is more soul-destroying than stagnation? In one sense, you may think about, okay, he's advocating progress. That's not the actual context, but for the sake of just framing it, that way. So, but, what if you're going in the wrong direction? Should you press on in that wrong direction? This is actually from, again, The Great Divorce, the fifth chapter. The Episcopal ghost is what Lewis identifies, or who Lewis identifies as stating this. He has met up with an old friend, Dick, who is a spirit already in heaven. So they are dialoguing here in that chapter. The ghost notes that Dick has become rather narrow-minded, to which the spirit happens to note that, well, you're an apostate. This leads to an objection that the ghost says, well, I was merely sharing honest opinions. But Dick challenges this notion that his views were honestly come by. Rather, he and Dick at the time, he says, quote, we found ourselves in contact with a certain current of ideas and plunged into them because it seemed modern and successful. Well, the ghost here then is the chapter is note. We'll go on to note then that he ultimately rejects the truth found in Christ. He instead says we must always be in a continual search for truth. And before he makes the statement that we're noting, he says, "For me, there is no such thing as a final answer. The free wind of inquiry must always continue to blow through the mind, must it not?" And actually, before then, the next thing is found it ironic that the ghost then shares a quote out of context to defend his position. Spirit notes, "Become a child again as you were when you were younger." But then he quotes the Bible and says, "But when I became a man, I put away childish things." So he's twisting that quote. He is offending against the context. That's when then he says, "Stagnation, my dear boy, what is more soul-destroying than stagnation?" So, as a result, sharing this quote out of context is really foolish. There's folly in it. Because the perspective of the character warning against it lacks the ability to be satisfied with any answer. All right, better things ahead. Imagine briefly here, if you were facing a new situation in life and you're not sure how it might turn out, or you had a friend, would you say or think something different than if you might be near death or you were talking to someone near death? Obviously, it would be quite different. Yet, this quote, "There are better things ahead than what we leave behind," seems like it is something that might be for the former, for when you're in a new situation. However, this is from Letters to an American Lady. June 17th, 1963 is where it occurs. And of course, it is also, let me first note that it's written to Mary Willis Shelburne. At the time, she was not identified in the 1967 book, but it is also now in the Collected Letters of C.S. Lewis, Volume 3. The correspondent, as noted, was dated June 17th, 1963. This is actually not that long before Lewis died. In fact, 5 months. At the time, though, it was Miss Shelburne who was a patient in the casualty hospital in D.C. So she was the one near death. Lewis was in relatively good health, not the greatest health by that time. But here he is encouraging her and challenging this person to, think about the possibility of dying. Now, she actually went on to live 12 more years. Interesting. So he's challenging her thinking about possibly dying early on in the letter, and he says, quote, "Can you not see death as a friend and deliverer?" At the end of the same paragraph, he says, "Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave it with regret?" And then there are better things ahead than what we leave behind. So what we have here, though, then, obviously, is Lewis encouraging Shelburne to not be so afraid of death at a point to where she well may be dying. So this quotation is most commonly shared, is likely, though, to be viewed as a nice motivational, statement. There are better things ahead than we leave behind. However, in context, it is clear that Lewis is not focusing on any earthly success, as we may glean out of it. And as a result, the complete meaning of what the better things are is lost when the statement is secluded. So that's why I'm saying don't go around sharing this quote. It's a nice sentiment, but it's not what it's seeming to mean. Final quote, again, is one that is not an out of context. I'm setting the stage here by reminding you of some stuff that obviously all of us here remember, and that is that Lewis's regular job was not defending the Christian faith. He was a fellow and tutor in English at Oxford. He was the chair of medieval and Renaissance literature at Cambridge. However, of course, the general public knows him more for his creation of the Narnia stories. So this quote that is shared is actually not Lewis, which we'll underscore in a minute, but it's a pretty good quote. "The world does not need more Christian literature. What it needs more is Christians writing good literature." Someone more known for in the common public from the Narnia stories, it's like, let me share that. That's great. Well, I'm saying don't share it because of what you're about to hear. Well, this quote actually misrepresents something Lewis wrote, because Lewis actually said something better. He was speaking in Easter 1945, Christian apologetics. He gave a talk. This was presented to Anglican youth leaders. So Lewis admits that he's going to be going off topic when he's talking about Christian apologetics, where he then says the following: what we want is not more little books about Christianity, but more little books by Christians on other subjects where the Christianity is latent. It's not as pithy sounding as the other one, but it is what Lewis actually said. But since most people commonly associate him with Narnia, they just Christian literature more, and that's a nice thing. But this is what Lewis actually said. This is over 5 years before Narnia. However, Lewis himself was already writing good, you know, literatures, or because that was his area. He's saying, don't just limit yourself to, you know, Christian literature. Whatever area you happen to be in, you can write about and influence by that Christianity being latent. So what we have here then again is, this is not Lewis. The world does not need more Christian literature. That's a nice idea, but don't say Lewis wrote it, because he didn't. The quotation is merely a poor paraphrase. It says something less than what Lewis meant. So he again then was advocating more than just Christians writing good quality literature. He encouraged Christians to write well in all subjects. Lewis just happened to be gifted in writing great literature. So in conclusion, while many short quotations by Lewis stand very well, there are obviously those that do not. This does not mean, however, that there's anything wrong with what Lewis wrote. It's just that sometimes the obvious meaning is not what we think it is when we see things that are said to be by him. It is important then to remember to, when you see a quote by Lewis online, hopefully it has the reference. It usually does not. But before you go sharing it, try to take the time to find out what the context is, because the statement may actually be a poor paraphrase of something Lewis has said. But use caution is the bottom line here when sharing quotations, and do your best and consider reviewing it first in the original source if you can find it before passing it on. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this special edition of All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. I'm William O'Flaherty. You've been listening to a talk I recently gave, that is at the time this show was posted. It's from a paper I read at the 2015 C.S. Lewis and Inklings Conference. This was held at the end of March 2015. Check the show notes for a link to another talk mentioned at the start of this one, where I presented quotes falsely attributed to Lewis. You can do that by going to EssentialCSLewis.com or to where the audio files are hosted directly, allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. While you're there, you can also check previous podcasts that I've given, as well as when you go to EssentialCSLewis.com, I have other content that includes a daily fact, quote, and quiz. Recent shows to All About Jack include, I had Dr. Jerry Root with a preview to his forthcoming book, The Surprising Imagination of C.S. Lewis. Then just before that, I had an essay chat, Screwtape Proposes a Toast. Other recent shows include Seven Literary Sages. This is the latest edition of Christian History, a magazine. Then also I chatted with Colin Duryea about his book, The Oxford Inklings. Finally, if you've enjoyed this show, consider sharing it with others and also check out those other podcast episodes. And then also, if you have questions or comments, you can email them to info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info@EssentialCSLewis.com.